They're not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're not even Street Sharks. Today, on Aging Otakus, it's Samurai Pizza Cats. Hey everybody, it's Aging Otakus, where we go over 80s, 90s, and 2000s retro anime. My name is Eric, and I'm here with my co-host, Jorge.
Hey.
How's it going, Jorge?
Hey, it's going pretty well. Excited to dig into this this litter-filled episode.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's a lot to say about it. But before we get into that, you can find us online at Aging Otakus on Instagram and at Aging Otakus on Twitter, where you can find us talking about the anime industry, memes, and what our future episodes are going to be. So before we get into the episode, Jorge, did you kind of get into any media this week? Or
yeah, so this week I kind of discovered this Instagram account that I can't get enough of. It's at Depths of Wikipedia. That's DEPTHS of Wikipedia. And they just post strange and interesting Wikipedia articles. They post screenshots of them. And I'm one of those people who I've got nothing better to do, or I'm just, it's late at night and I'm bored, and I'll browse around weird random topics on Wikipedia. And this, here's a little selection of recent articles that they've posted. Vampire number.
Okay.
Wojak Bear, in parentheses. The Clowns Gallery Museum. The Waffle House Index. And the IKEA Effect. Now that's some like weird shit that you'll have to look up and see more of, but it's worth a follow if you just like odd things, or if you like to do pub trivia and just have like weird random facts in your head, like, worth a follow.
Okay, so is it like a bot that's using an algorithm to just pull random articles, or is it somebody who actually like looks to find intentionally strange Wikipedia articles?
I think it's actually curated by a person from the vibe I'm getting.
Okay.
They do occasionally post to their story and have like some like Q&As and stuff. And yeah, they get suggestions from people, or they just find strange articles and then screenshot them and go from there.
Okay. Interesting. What I've been watching, or one thing that I wanted to bring to the podcast this week, is a YouTube video called The Rise and Fall of Gaia Online. Now, Jorge, are you familiar with what Gaia Online is?
Yeah, it was an MMO, I want to say.
Sort of. Yeah, it's very similar to that. Like it's a relic of pre-2010s anime weebdom. It's sort of got its roots as a forum of sorts, where it kind of lets you create a character avatar that you could buy clothing for and kind of customize. And I think they eventually expanded to sort of games and things where you could kind of walk around like a virtual lobby. But if you were a weeaboo like in the early to mid 2000s, you sort of knew what Gaia Online was if you weren't explicitly on it. And at one point, like, it was sort of probably the biggest anime-based social network in the world. And it had just a very quick rise and fall. And this YouTuber, Redbard, kind of goes into how, you know, at one point they were in, I believe, Forbes magazine, to like 3 years later, they are in MIT textbooks on how internet economies fail. So it's a very interesting look behind the scenes of maybe something that people who would listen to this show would be familiar with. So if you were on Gaia Online when you were a kid, check out The Rise and Fall of Gaia Online by the YouTuber Redbard. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And just a kind of an interesting thing to kind of look at if you were part of the community when you were younger.
Yeah, even as someone that didn't really have a lot to do with that, I mean, that just sounds fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, I definitely say, like, check it out. It's like 20 minutes, I think, but It's a wild ride. Today on Aging Otakus, we will be going over the anime Samurai Pizza Cats. Now, unlike last week's episode, we will be going over episode 1 of Samurai Pizza Cats, just because I feel like it is something that we could get away with because it's, you know, it's more of a kid show rather than what Cowboy Bebop is. So Samurai Pizza Cats debuted in 1990, and it's sort of, I believe, got its start with, I think it was like TV Tokyo. I think it also started there. The Japanese name for it was Cat Ninja Legend Tayanandi. I'm saying that wrong. When it was brought to the US, I think it made its debut in like 95. It was bought up by Saban Entertainment, where they sort of disregarded any sort of prior plot that the original show had and kind of just like slapped one onto it.
Make it up as you go along.
I mean, that's what Saban does. You know, he buys foreign properties and just sort of builds shows around the stock footage that they get. And so, yeah. Did you watch the show when you were younger?
Yeah, I very weirdly, I feel like I watched a lot of this for some reason. Like, I don't think I like actively sought it out, but it was just kind of like, maybe it was between two other shows that I actually really liked or something. But yeah, I feel like I strangely did watch a lot of this, and it, at least then, it left a kind of good impression on me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, then. Yeah, I watched it when I was a younger kid too. I think I it used to be on the Fox affiliate channel here in Las Vegas, and I would intentionally try to make myself late for school because it was on, I believe, like at 9 o'clock. So I would always try to be late to school so I could watch Samurai Pizza Cats. And I think it was something I did, like, I tried to do it multiple times a week. So, because I mean, you know, in like the mid 90s, there wasn't a lot of anime a kid like me could get a hold of. So I was like, I will do whatever I can to watch this show that I have, you know, I've discovered is a show from Japan.
I think that was part of it for me too, is like, oh, this reminds me a lot of like the other anime that are on, so I need to have it.
Yeah. So we'll get into it later. Coming back to it as an adult, I've got some thoughts on it.
Got some hot takes.
I don't know if they're going to be hot, but they are going to be takes.
They are going to be takes. All right, so we start off this episode, as all episodes of the show, with this really wacky intro that is still stuck in my head days after watching it. Uh-huh. Kind of an earworm, and I don't know if I love it or hate it, but needless to say, it's wacky as hell. They fire shots at like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which even at this point would have kind of been a dated reference, I feel like. And they spell the word samurai kind of wrong in the intro for some reason.
Samurai.
Yeah.
Samurai.
Samurai, and then like the letter I. But I mean, it does set the tone that this isn't a show that takes itself seriously. This is a show that's just going to parody other things more than be its own thing or have its own identity. So I guess, you know, honesty in advertising. But
right.
Yeah, just another strange Saban homebrew intro.
Did you know that Saban is one of the people singing on that intro?
That I didn't know. I do know they like to make their own record their own intros and music, but that's damn fun fact.
Yeah, I was like, huh, pretty interesting. Yeah, it's clear that the people writing the show do not give a fuck about the original Japanese plot lines at all.
The artistic intent has been lost here.
Yeah.
So we cut from that intro to kind of an establishing shot of Little Tokyo, which, as the narrator will let you know, it's like your hometown if your hometown had cartoon animals. And I mean, the first thing you kind of pick up is that this narrator has this like old timey, like Paul Lind, like sassy, like just effect to him. And this is definitely the kind of show that thinks it is, or that really wants to be Animaniacs, but it's not quite on that level. And the narrator definitely like overstays his welcome a fair bit, but, so it's a busy day at the Pizza Cats Pizza Pizzeria. There's just all sorts of cute little anime animals dining, you know, having a good time, little cute anime animal families out for dinner. And Guido and Speedy, two of the three main protagonists, they're you know, doing the rounds, they're getting pizzas to their tables, and a call comes in for a delivery to someone called Lucille. And our other protagonist, Polly, and Francine, these are all cats, by the way.
Are they cats or are they androids, though? Because I think everybody here is like a weird robot, right?
Everybody, yeah, they never address it, but it's just kind of there. Like, everyone's like some kind of weird android, and I do believe in the original series they are actually, there's a name for what they are, but everybody seems to just refer to each other as what species they're supposed modeled to be. After. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So these are all, when I say, you know, dog, cat, rat, whatever, bird, these are like robots, but they look really cute and cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so Guido and Speedy set off on this delivery, and they're almost like competing because they, you know, both have a crush on this Lucille person, which kind of leaves Polly and Francine a little jealous or a little annoyed at the boys. And as they dash out to make this delivery on time, there's like a ninja looking bird over the roof, just ominously watching, but also kind of looking like a dork.
Mm-hmm.
And so as they're like dashing to deliver this pizza, they're just kind of like trying to one-up each other, and like they're trying to be the one that has the pie in hand to pass it off to Lucille, and they're outracing each other and, you know, doing all these things through the city. And as they get there, Speedy, the leader, he starts flirting with Lucille, who, like, it's hard to tell, but apparently she's a sheep. I thought she looked like a weird robot or human or something, but apparently she's a sheep.
She's not the sheep, you are.
wake up, sheeple. The animals are robots.
So do you notice that they don't run? They all just like hover with their feet?
Yeah. That was I don't know if that was like a ninja like magic thing or an android thing or a cat thing or what, but yeah, they kind
of
just hover.
I think it's more of a save budget,
a budget
with animation
thing.
Cuts. Yeah, I think that's what that is.
It's we want to get paid after we make this, right?
Yeah.
And so they bring this pizza to Lucille. We get a little bit of fun dialogue while they're fighting each other, while Speedy and Guido are like bickering and fighting for Lucille's affection. You know, they start calling each other like neo-fascist felines, and, you know, they're like, oh, stop talking politics. And Lucille actually like launches a bunch of missiles from her head for some reason, and blows everything up.
When will we keep politics out of anime?
Why? And this is just one of like many narrator kind of overstaying his welcome things where, you know, she shoots a bunch of missiles out of her head and the narrator calls it a mind-blowing experience. And it's like, yeah, we get it. We get it, dude. And so there's this big explosion elsewhere. You know, there's this big explosion in the air. The sky fills with smoke, and you see all the cute little city animals all worried, and, you know, just really ominous looking dragon just flies out of the clouds and starts trashing the city. And it's actually kind of like a cool looking like robot dragon thing for, you know, for the series.
He looks like that dragon from Power Rangers once they get like once the Red Ranger's Zord is like a dragon. I forget what series that's from.
The Red Thunder Zord, right? I want to say.
Yeah. It's very much like that.
Yeah, it's definitely of that style. Of the like long snake boy kind of dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, again, we kind of have the narrator killing his moment, and he says that this is the scariest thing they could animate. Like,
oh God.
Quit trying to be clever and breaking the fourth wall. But anyway, so the cats get Speedy and Guido get tackled by this dragon, and we kind of get a view that there's just a bunch of those crows inside that we saw earlier, just piloting it and scheming.
Yeah, did you notice they do more digs at Ninja Turtles where they're destroying the city, and then there's like, oh, it even destroyed a retirement home for aging Ninja Turtles.
It's just they're trying really hard to be wacky and funny. It's that very,
they're swinging for the fences.
Yeah. It's that very like wacky monkey cheese humor in like its earliest form.
Yeah. So we flash forward to City Hall, where there is a meeting of business leaders for this little Tokyo. And this is where we get introduced to the main villain of the series, who is the Big Cheese, who is also pretty much modeled after Paul Lynde. And, you know, kids, if you don't know who Paul Lynde is, like, Google him. He was on Hollywood Squares. He's very funny. But there's lots of wacky dialogue here, and it's mostly, like, about... It's usually either puns or talking about money instead of saving lives. So, you know, echoing to today, whatever.
Relevant.
Yeah. So they decide to call the Pizza Cats to solve the problem with this dragon who is every night destroying the city. And the daimyo's daughter says, like, hey, the best thing about the Pizza Cats, they deliver. And, you know, everyone laughs and whatever. But they all think it's a good idea. However, the Big Cheese is kind of quietly upset because he doesn't want them to get in the way of his plans, because lo and behold, this whole dragon thing is actually, you know, a plan by the Big Cheese and an older robot bird to sort of take advantage of the destruction of the city. The dragon attacks again with lots of, you know, sad animals kind of running around. They're sort of like reusing the footage. So I don't know if they actually did attack again in the original Japanese version, but they're just trying to fill time, and they literally show the same pagoda falling over again.
Again.
Yeah. But Big Al Dente gets off his phone call with the Samurai Pizza Cats to take care of the dragon. And afterwards, he sort of regrets not ordering some pizza for himself before the cats get off the phone with him. So this is where we see the transformation sequence from the regular cats and their sort of barely noticeable superhero forms.
I'm glad it wasn't just me.
No, it was not you at all. I was like, wait, there's a transformation sequence? Like, why? So, what's the cat's name behind the bar? Not Polyester, it's
Francine.
Francine, yeah, Francine. She's sort of like the commander of the unit, and she loads all the pizza cats into the pizza ovens, and the Samurai Pizza Cats pizzeria turns into this giant revolver. It's just probably the coolest thing about the whole episode. And as they are sort of getting loaded into this gun, a transformation sequence happens, and it just takes off their existing shoulder pads and puts rounder shoulder pads on them. And the kids, or the Samurai Pizza Cats, get shot out of the gun, and we get a scene with a mom and her son dog kind of commenting on the Pizza Cats polluting the atmosphere, when in reality they're just leaving chemtrails. And
they're making frogs gay with chemtrails.
Yeah, they're turning them gay. But yeah, it's more of the same thing. Like, the cats are making little punny intros about themselves, and they kind of each get like their own little individual spotlight. So it's sort of like kind of kabuki theater, where like a spotlight's on them and they kind of say a little one-liner, and they begin to fight this mecha dragon that's in the air. Guido's up first, and he, unlike a sword, Guido uses like one of those traditional Japanese like paper umbrellas, which I think is a pretty cool choice. And he uses that to, I guess, reflect sunlight to kind of create like a giant beam with his umbrella. And when he does this, it kind of reveals that it's not actually a mecha dragon. It's like one of those paper sort of like Chinese New Year dragons, but it's being controlled by like 30 of those like robot crows. And so it's kind of just like a cartoonish skeleton and a bunch of crows flying in the air. Afterwards, we see that they're still willing to fight, even though the dragon facade is kind of gone. And up next is Polyester, And she pretty much uses her claws to sort of scratch at these, you know, robot birds. Crows. I don't know. I'm going to say crows from now on.
This kitty's got claws.
Oh, God. Don't be afraid to use your nails, boys. And Guido uses a genjutsu and hypnotizes all the birds into fighting each other, while Speedy is like sort of the main character, so he's allowed to use katanas. And he pretty much slices the robot remaining legs that the dragon had. You know, after they're defeated, the bird general kind of like flies off, and you know, he kind of has to go report this to the big cheese. Afterwards, we kind of get like a scene where you see this in every episode after this, where it's sort of like Pokemon. It's very cookie cutter. So afterwards, they tell the Big Cheese why they failed. Big Cheese gets mad and then blows up because he's a robot. And yeah, that's kind of like where they end. Not much to say at that point. The cats kind of meet at a bridge, and Speedy falls over. Everyone laughs, and we kind of get this the next preview. But what's kind of stuck out to me, and I'm glad that you brought it up, Jorge, is like there's like a fan club oath for the Samurai Pizza Cats.
Yeah, they're demanding loyalty of America's youth, and I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
I don't support the indoctrination of children, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention one thing. There is Guido does a move to hypnotize these birds, where he says, "Hey, Yardbirds, remember the 60s? And he just does like weird hypnosis shit to them. And I'm just like, okay, boomer.
which we'll get to a little, but like, there's just so many weird references that even the audience at the time wouldn't get.
Yeah, like how many kids in the 90s know who the hell Paul Lynde is? Right? Like that's obviously for the parents. I don't know. It was weird. But yeah, I don't support the Samurai Pizza Cats brainwashing our children to be Antifa. I don't like that. The ending theme is very bad as well. Like, I think they even mention it. Like, they say, like, if you could do better, we'd leave it up to you. Because they know that it's a bad theme song.
Yeah, right? There's a lot of that, like, self-deprecation in place of, like, quality kind of theme throughout this, throughout the narration, right? And both theme songs.
Yeah, dude, it's like, it's very fourth wall. It's like, did you ever watch that that anime, The Ghost Files?
Never did. No.
Oh, dude, you gotta watch The Ghost Files. Ghost Files. It's essentially an anime that a company bought where they didn't want to put any effort into like translating over the stories, so they just let all the voice actors just kind of go wild.
Okay.
And they don't give a shit about the stories, and it's all just butt dick and fart jokes. But like, that's the kind of feeling that Samurai Pizza Cats gave me, because it's very clear that they don't care about any kind of story. And so whoever's writing it is probably writing these episodes out in like 20 minutes. The thing is, it's not like The Ghost Files, because The Ghost Files is funny. Like, it's just not funny.
Right. Yeah. And like, I mean, if we want to, you know, move on to like what we thought about the episode, like, honestly,
let's get into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's get into it.
Like, I don't know if this was like a thing in the 90s or the 2000s or whatever, but the whole, like, we're just going to take a bunch of footage and write our own thing. And I don't mean in like the Power Rangers way, where they, at the end of the day, it's still, I would say it's a quality product for what it is. But like, you know, like Japanese game shows get this sometimes too, like Most Extreme Challenge, for a minute there, kind of like Iron Chef when they were still dubbing it over differently.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just, let's take something Japanese and dub it over and make it wackier and randomer, I guess. Now the source material of this was supposed to also be funny and like kind of a parody and like pop culture and all that. So it might be one of those things where in spirit, this is closer to the original than we're giving it credit for. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that.
We haven't seen the original. Maybe down the line we do. We can make a comparison. But
that'd be a good idea.
It'll be fun. But overall, I just, we probably spent more time talking about this episode than it feels like they spent writing it.
Dude, for sure.
Just, out of date cultural references. I understand that shows do that, so the parents watch with their kids and they're entertained too. A lot of shows did great at this. Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, I mean, those are contemporaries to this, and they were for kids. I feel very comfortable watching either of those shows and knowing I'll laugh and think they're funny and silly and quality. But yeah, this did not hold up. I'm kind of angry I watched this as much as I did.
It's very, you get the feeling that it's very thrown together. Like, yeah. Even with the references, like, it's just like, throw Paul Lind in there.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Yardbirds. Whatever. Like, it's not very well thought out.
Keep dissing the Ninja Turtles, which, like, all the kids stopped watching 4 years prior, probably.
Probably, yeah. So that's the episode, guys. We didn't even talk about the name, because, I mean, I don't think either of us gave a shit. But this first episode is called, what is it?
Stop
Dragging My Cat Around. Fuck this episode.
It's been a severe morale hit at Aging Otaku's headquarters.
We're going to need weeks to recover. So, Jorge, what did you think of this episode and the series as a whole?
I just felt extra critical of it while watching it, because I just felt like I couldn't recover from things to, like, pick at in fast enough before the next one would come up.
Yeah, for sure. I had the same problem.
The narrator would just not shut up.
They
keep trying to, like, calling out how much you suck doesn't stop you from sucking.
Right. And to be honest, like, there were so many things I was trying to keep writing down that I just stopped writing things down to begin with. Right. And then I just zoned out.
It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And
going back to the beginning, I was like, I'm mad at myself for missing so much valuable education by being late to school all those times. Like, who knows where I would have been if I had gone to school on time those days.
If you had gone to school on time, we'd have, like, flying cars by now.
Shit, probably.
No, yeah, I mean, okay, I don't want to be a complete negative Nancy, though. Like, I do think the animal designs are, like, really cute. They're both cool looking and cute, because they do have, like, the robotic but also, like, kawaii animal cuteness going on. They're perfectly they're like my platonic ideal proportions of, like, super deformed looking stuff. I think in remembering the show and in, you know, initially looking forward to seeing it, that did a lot of the heavy lifting for me, just like my mental image of, like, oh yeah, those are, like, cool looking, like, samurai cats, like, this will be a fun show to watch. So I mean if I have to give it something, like, visually, it's, at least design wise, it's a nice looking show. Animation, yeah. Totally different story, but visually,
yeah. Character designs were good. And also, this, once again, Bandai's grubby hands are all over it, because they made this show to make model kits for the cats.
Oh, I could totally see that.
You kind of see it, right? Like, they kind of have, like, a Gundam-esque look to them.
Yeah, and you know, just looking at how symmetrical everything is, like, it makes it really easy to just, you know, print little trees of all these plastic parts. Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
Yeah. So, did it hold up? Would you recommend this to a friend?
I would only recommend this to a friend who wants to see a train wreck. Maybe that's a little too harsh, but yeah, if someone is just curious about how bad 90s anime could be,
yeah,
watch this. But yeah, otherwise, I wouldn't even. I'm gonna try to forget about this show as soon as I walk away from the mic.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I would recommend it to a friend unless my friend was like, hey, what anime did you watch as a kid? And even then, I'd probably show him something else.
Perhaps like a trusted friend or a partner who you want to, like, explain your trauma to. You can.
Right. Yeah.
This is why I'm like this.
This is why I'm always eating pizza. So I think we're kind of on the same page there. I don't feel like it had a legacy. Did you see anything, Jorge, like, maybe like video games or any kind of cross pollination with other franchises with this one, or no?
Yeah, it had, had some, NES game, or, you know, Famicom game, that was released for it, the characters were actually supposed to appear in that Tatsunoko versus Capcom game that came out on the Wii.
Really?
In arcade. Right, yeah. So this was a Tatsunoko production.
What?
And they never put it there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, kind of missed out.
That makes me even sadder in a sense, because I love like Tatsunoko and like all of their franchises are great, like Cashern and Gatchaman.
Yeah, no, yeah, they definitely have a legacy of like cool superhero characters and these guys. But you know, I won't shit on the original work because that would be unfair because that's not what we're reviewing right now. So maybe
Let us watch it, then we'll shit on it.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a hidden gem in there. And but yeah, other than that, I do know it came out on Blu-ray recently, both the original version and the English dubbed version. Other than that, I honestly don't think it really had much of an impact overall.
Right. Yeah, I mean, definitely stateside. I don't think it did. I think, to be perfectly frank, I think maybe you are one of maybe two other people I know who even know what Samurai Pizza Cats was. Which is when we were talking about doing the show, like, you were like, hey, I want to do Samurai Pizza Cats. And I was just blown away that you even knew what it was. So yeah, I think that also just speaks to the legacy of it at stateside, at least. But as you know, Jorge, it's time for our Aging Otaku's rating system. So out of 1 to 5 Big Cheese body pillows, what do you rate this episode of Samurai Pizza Cats?
I'm letting those character designs do a lot of the heavy lifting on here, but I'm gonna have to give it 2 body pillows.
Damn, dude. Yeah. No. Okay. I'm right there with you, man. Two pillows. And I just, because I feel bad giving it 1, but I kind of want to give it 1 as well. I don't know. Maybe I'll go 1.5.
I think a child watching it, like, yeah. It's not so bad that a child would be like, what the hell is happening? Because there is enough like zaniness and chaos happening. But I just think this is a quickly outgrown show, even in that case.
But there's even too much zaniness and chaos for kids. I think a kid would even just be like, like, it would give him a fucking seizure.
What's the point?
Yeah. I don't know. I want to go. You know what? I'm changing my score. 1 body pillow.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I wasn't happy with this. I don't know. It kind of depressed me.
It made me question a lot of my decisions at that age.
Yeah, for sure.
Could have been watching Gargoyles or something.
Oh, I should have been watching Gargoyles. Or Mighty Max. Something like that.
Something good.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to watch it, though, so I watched it on Retro Crush. Is that where you watched it as well?
No, I think for me it was available on Crunchyroll. So yeah, you can get it at either place, but it was on Crunchyroll. So if you do want to watch it with the ads, does the Retro Crush version have the ads?
Yeah, they do. They do have ads. I just get car insurance ads like every break, which I'm sure that's very effective.
Oh, I get. I've gotten political ads for a former wrestler who's running for the house in Nevada, who is apparently not a good guy. Oh. So.
So yeah. So he's running this election as a heel. Okay.
Oh, for sure. So guys, that has been our episode of Aging Otakus. Today we covered episode 1 of season 1 of Samurai Pizza Cats. Something something dragon cat. I don't remember the name of that episode. Fuck it. If you want to hear more from us, you can find us on Instagram at Aging Otakus and on Twitter at Aging Otakus. If you want to give us a rating on Apple, I would really appreciate a 5-star rating. I know Jorge would as well. And if you leave us a 5-star review and you want to give us a recommendation for a future episode, we will definitely consider any 5-star review to maybe do a show on in the future. So, you know, give us that. And if you want to find me on Twitter, my name is at Chambray Poppy. That's Chambray like the textile _ Poppy like that in Spanish. And you know, you can find me just tweeting about, you know, Supreme Court justices or mostly anime, whatever. Jorge, where could they find you?
So I'm on Twitter at Jorge, J-O-R-G-E, Labrador, like Labrador Retriever. And I'll just tweet Simpsons memes and shitposts. But you know what? I want you to tweet me a picture of your cat or a cat or whatever. I love cats. Even Samurai Pizza cats. I'll take it. I could use some cats in my life.
Bro, I'll send you a picture of my cat right now.
Oh, blessed.
But yeah, so that's been this episode of Aging Otakus. Join us next week. Until then, take it easy.
Bye.